Now, it's time for Short Story and Ray Bradbury's exciting drama, The Rocket. But first, let me take a moment to bring you some news about Saturday's top shows on NBC. Tomorrow evening, the Camel Caravan joins NBC. Enjoy a full 30 minutes of sparkling music as provided by Vaughn Monroe, the Moon Maids, the Moon Men, and lovely Shay Cogan. This Saturday, tomorrow, on the premiere broadcast, the Camel Caravan will salute the University of Connecticut. Make a program note to hear the Camel Caravan tomorrow night. Now, it's Short Story on NBC. NBC presents Short Story. Tonight, The Rocket by Ray Bradbury. Stories in the field of science fiction are usually associated in the public's mind with wildly fantastic juvenile adventures. Yet one of today's most promising young writers has seen fit to concentrate almost exclusively on science fiction material. He is Ray Bradbury, and his sensitive, moving stories have a universal appeal which stamps them as truly great. Listen now to a story of the future, Ray Bradbury's The Rocket.
Rocket spattered the concrete launching apron somewhere west of Kansas City. It climbed a fiery ladder and arched eastward over the sleeping land. Lovers looked upward and traced its path with drowsy fingers. The learned astronomers swore academic curses as the brilliant wake-fog camera plates at Mount Wilson and Palomar and Harvard Observatory. The radar tracking units put their electronic heads together and came to the mathematical conclusion that Flight R-23 was on course at constant acceleration and would reach the orbit of Mars at its scheduled time. The 9 o'clock rocket was on its way.
Fiorello, what are you doing up?
Nothing. Go to sleep.
What are you doing in your bare feet on the cold floor?
Nothing.
Come back to bed.
Later.
Later? 6 o'clock in the morning, you go to work at the junkyard. Don't be a fool. Come back to bed.
It woke me up.
What, the rocket? Well, there should be a law. All night, the rockets.
I'm going for a walk.
Now? 3 o'clock in the morning?
Leave me alone, my dear.
Oh, you're crazy. I know all the time. You think I'm asleep. You walk down by the river to that crazy Bermonte who lives in the shack.
Please, please don't spoil anything.
Spoil? I forbid it. By the right of a wife, I forbid it. Fiorello Bodoni, you come back to your bed.
Later, I'll be back later. Go to sleep, Maria.
I forbid it. I forbid it. At least take your overcoat.
Mars, the Venus.
Well, well, Bodoni.
Good evening, Bramante.
It is. Sit down.
The air is clear.
You come out for the air?
Small house smells of old food.
Only for the air?
Only the air.
I prefer the rockets myself. I was a boy when they started. I went to New Mexico to see the takeoff of the first one to the moon.
What was it like, the first rocket? Did it take off like these? Did it fly through the night on a fountain of fire?
I never saw it. A million other fools came for the same thing. I saw the pictures after. 65 years ago. And I've never ridden on one yet.
I'll ride up in one someday.
That fool, you'll never go. This is a rich man's world. Do we fly rockets? No. We live in shacks by the river like our ancestors before us.
Perhaps my sons.
No, nor their sons. It's the rich who have dreams and rockets. Who rides in that rocket? Bramante the laborer? Bodoni the junk man? Nah.
Old man, I've saved $3,000. It took me 6 years to save it for my business, to invest in machinery. But every night for a month now...
You watch the rockets.
I hear them. I think. Tonight I've made up my mind. One of us will fly to Mars.
Idiot. How will you choose? Who will go? If you go, your wife will hate you. For you will be just a bit nearer God in space. I can see the bitterness now.
No, not Marie.
And your children. Will their lives be filled with the memory of Papa who flew to Mars while they stayed here? They'll think of the rocket the rest of their lives, and they will be sick with wanting it, just as you are sick now. They'll want to die if they can't go.
I'm sick now.
Don't show them a goal in the stars, Bedoni. Turn their eyes down to their hands and to your junkyard, not up to the stars.
But
suppose your wife went. How would you feel, knowing she had seen and you had not? No, Bedoni. Buy a new wrecking machine, which you need, and pull your dreams apart with it and smash them to pieces. Listen to me, Bedoni.
There in the west. Look at it, Bramante. Climbing fire to the stars.
You haven't listened to me. Well, it gets cold.
Good night, Bramante.
Sleep well, Bedoni.
Fiorello Bedoni stood half-naked in darkness, watching the streaks of fire curve upward into the eternal night. And then he looked down. But the river before him reflected the flaming images of the rockets as they tore away from Earth. And there was no peace.
Fiorello?
It's all right.
Are you cold?
No, you should have slept.
I can get some hot milk.
I don't need it. Maria, I have $3,000.
Oh, in the morning.
No, now. I have enough to take one of us on the Mars rocket.
In the morning.
Monty says I should invest it in the business. Forget the rocket.
Fiorello, in the morning.
Think what you'd see. The meteors like fish, the universe, the moon.
What are you talking about, Fiorello?
You'd see the earth and the sky, Maria.
I would?
I only have money for one of us.
If someone is to go, it will be you. Now go to sleep.
No, someone should go who could tell it well on returning. You have a way with words.
So have you.
Maria, it should be you.
Oh, in the morning, Fiorello. In the morning.
Hey, Papa. Papa, I saw the Venus rocket this morning.
Boy, oh, boy.
Oh, that isn't the way the rocket goes. It goes zoom.
Children, listen, all of you. I have enough money to take one of us on the Mars rocket. Now, wait. Only one of us, you understand? Who?
Me.
Listen, consider. Only one can go for the whole family. Consider who should it be.
Papa, maybe Antonello.
Mariani. She is the girl.
You, Fiorello, you.
Here, Paolo, give me the broom.
The broom?
Here, now. I have straws here. All long but one. The short straw wins. Understand? We'll choose. Paolo, choose.
Yes, Papa.
What is it?
Long straw.
Antonello?
Long straw, Papa.
All right, two straws left. You, Maria.
Oh, no.
Draw a straw.
I don't want to.
Draw.
Short straw.
Well, Mama goes to Mars.
Yay, Mama!
Congratulations, I'll buy you a ticket today.
Congratulations, Mama.
You'll tell us all about Mars? I'm glad it is you, Mama. Ernest, I am.
I cannot go to Mars.
Why not?
I will be busy with another child.
What?
It wouldn't do for me to travel in my condition.
Is this the truth? Maria, is this true?
Yes, it's true. Draw again. Start over.
Why didn't you tell me this before?
We were talking about the rocket so much.
Maria.
Who goes, Papa?
Draw again. First, Paolo.
Papa, short straw. I go to Mars.
That's swell.
I go to Mars, Papa. I can go, can't I?
Yes.
And you'll like me when I get back?
Of course.
Antonello, will you like me when I get back from Mars?
Sure. Sure, I guess.
Oh, Papa, I forgot. School starts. I can't go. Draw again.
I couldn't go either, Papa. I'm awfully busy.
I am too, Papa.
None of us can go, Papa. Not alone. We wouldn't like each other after. No, none of us will go.
That's best.
Ramonte was right. Invest in junk.
Oh, never mind, Fiorello. Go on, eat your egg. You don't like it when it's cold.
Padone, turn that thing off. Turn off the machine.
What do you want, Mr. Matthews?
I got some metal for you.
Big?
Plenty big.
What good will it do me? My machinery is falling apart. 20 years old.
Now, quit kicking at something good.
What is it?
A rocket ship.
No.
What's the matter? Don't you want it?
Yes. Yes, I want it.
It's a mock-up, you know. When they plan a rocket, they build a full-scale model of aluminum. No engines. You might make a little profit boiling it down for the aluminum. I'll let you have it for $2,000.
I haven't got the money.
No? Oh, sorry. I thought I could help you. You said everybody outbid you on junk. I figured I'd slip this to you on the QT. Well,
I need new equipment. I saved money for that.
Oh, sure. I understand.
Even if I bought your rocket, I wouldn't be able to melt it down. My aluminum furnace broke down last week.
Sure. Well, I'll see you.
I couldn't possibly use a rocket if I bought it from you.
Okay, sure.
But I'm a great fool. I'll take my money from the bank and give it to you.
If you can't melt it down...
Deliver it.
All right, if you say so. Tonight?
Tonight would be fine. Yes, I'd like to have a rocket ship tonight.
Easy. Let go. All right, set it down. Look out. Easy. Get the chains off her. Okay, Badoni, you got a rocket ship.
There was the moon. The rocket was white and big in the junkyard. It held the whiteness of the moon and the blueness of the stars.
You're all mine. Even if you never move or spit fire and just sit there and rust for 50 years, you're mine.
The rocket smelled of time and distance. It was like walking into a clock. It was finished with Swiss delicacy. He crawled through the airlock and walked through the quiet of the passageway. The dome of the control room looked out over the river. The stars were overhead and the moon. He sat in the pilot's seat and touched a lever. The silence beat into his ears. His eyes were closed, and in his mind a hum began. Louder, higher, wilder, stronger, trembling in him, leaning him forward and pulling him and the ship in roaring silence and in a kind of metal screaming, while his fists flew over the controls and his shut eyes quivered, and the sound grew and grew until it was a fire, a strength, a lifting and a pushing of power that threatened to tear him in half. He gasped. The hum was louder in his brain. On and on and on, his eyes tighter, his heart furious.
Taking off.
A jolting concussion pounded in his brain, a thunder of power that was silenced to the ear. His eyes tight shut, he saw the flash of fiery rain in the sky.
The meteors.
It was a silent rush, a still acceleration, a speed of the mind in the volcanic light of the sun. And with eyes tight, blind, seeing through the mind, he sped on to the great red disk hanging in a black velvet sky.
Mars, I see it. Mars!
He fell back, exhausted. His shaking hands came loose of the controls and his head tilted back wildly. He sat for a long time, breathing out and in, his heart slowing. Slowly, he opened his eyes. The junkyard was still there. He sat motionless. He looked at the heaped piles of rusting metal.
Take off. Gotta show you.
I'll show you. Frog. Frog squat in the junkyard. I'll show you. If you don't fly, you won't. I'll show you. Now I'll show you. You'll feel it in the wrecking place hit you. You'll listen to me when I smash you. This is my wrecking machine. I'm fearing of Adonai, and I'm going to crack you, smash you up. No!
Silver Rocket lay in the light of the moon. The long, slim shape poised in the piles of rusting junk seemed to be moving. The stubby fins seemed swept back by the winds, and the hull seemed crouched for the leap into the skies. Bodoni's hand was on the lever that would send the massive weights of his terrible wrecking machine plunging into the thin aluminum hull, cracking, ripping apart this insolent dream, this silly thing for which he had paid his money and which would not move. But his hand stayed. Beyond the rocket a block away stood the yellow lights of his house burning warmly. He stepped down from the wrecking machine and went home. And when he came in the front door, he was laughing.
Maria. Fiorello, the children are in bed.
Then wait them and start packing. We're going to Mars. We're going to Mars.
You took our money for this?
We're going to Mars.
It will never fly.
It will fly. Children.
Papa, is it real?
Yes, it's real.
Can I touch it?
Later. Now go to the house, all of you. I have work to do. Tomorrow we leave. Tell no one. Tomorrow we leave. Tell no one. Understand? It's a secret.
Oh, you have ruined it. Our money used for this. This thing.
Please, Maria, you'll see.
Never. Fiorello Bordone, you are a madman. Goodbye.
Where are you going?
To the house. Someone has to take care of your children.
God help me.
Through the midnight hours, trucks arrived, packages were delivered, and Bordone, smiling, exhausted his bank account.
Hey, Mac, want to check this bill of lading? Ration, United Space Commissary, Type 34-7, 10 cartons. Space precautionary repair clothing, one set, including a 34 glassine helmet, breather hose assembly, Type 867, shoulder coupling assembly, rubber steel welded.
When the dawn light turned the dark, twisted shadows into piles of old plumbing fixtures and auto chassis, the sputter of Fiorello Bodoni's welding equipment crackled through the yard. A pile of crates stood by the rocket, the wood fresh, the stenciled writing spelling out in authorized standard abbreviations, the roadway to the stars.
Gee, look at that, Tony. Space rations. Guaranteed 7 acceleration rigging.
What's acceleration rigging?
Well, that's so you can take off without being mashed flat.
We're really going. Gee.
You kids, Paolo and Fiorello.
Hi, Papa.
You kids, get away from the rockets.
We weren't touching anything.
You've got to be careful with rockets. High tension.
Sure, Papa. We thought maybe we could help.
Don't you worry. Your Papa's going to take care of everything.
Through the night, the giant arcs brought a lifeless day to the junkyard. The cold blue light was hard. The flash of spots from the welding machine spurted out like a run of meteors hitting an atmosphere and flaring into nothingness. With welding torch, riveter, and soldering iron, Fiorello Bodoni assaulted the rocket, added, took away, worked fiery magics and secret insults upon it. He bolted 9 ancient automobile motors into the rocket's empty engine room. Then he welded the engine room shut so that none could see his hidden labor. And at morning, he came back to the house.
Maria, I'm ready for breakfast. No word for your husband?
Never mind. I'm not hungry. I have more work to do.
The optical equipment was delivered, nested in foam rubber, spring-mounted against the tremor of a sharp-turned street corner or the smashing jar of a planetfall. The electric wiring snaked through the shining corridors of the rocket like the thin white branching nerve from brain to spinal cord to muscle. And then the yard was still. The hammer was laid down. The pile of fresh wood crates was gone. The rocket leaned forward, jutting above the mounds of rusting bed springs and countless empty beer cans. At sunset, Fiorella Bodoni came into his house and called to the children.
Paolo, Antonello, Miriamne. Children.
They will not answer.
Why not?
I've locked them in the closet.
What do you mean?
You'll be killed in that rocket.
Listen to me, Maria.
It will blow up. Anyway, you're no pilot.
I can fly this ship. I fixed it.
You have gone mad.
Where's the key to the closet?
They will not go. Kill yourself. Leave me my children.
Where's the key?
I have it here.
Give it to me.
Oh, no.
Give it to me.
Leave the baby. Leave me the little girl.
No, all must go. Give me the key.
Oh, here. You will kill them.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, you will. I feel it.
You won't come along.
I will stay here.
You'll understand. You'll see then. Children, come out. Come, follow your father. We'll go to Mars. Come.
Goodbye, Mama.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Maria. You'll see.
Murderer.
Children, before we go inside, listen carefully. We'll be gone a week. You must get back to school and I to my business. Listen. This rocket is very old and will fly only one more journey. It will not fly again. This will be the one trip of your life. Keep your eyes open wide.
Yes, Papa.
All right, we'll go inside. I'll lift you, Miriamne. Stand clear. I'll close the airlock. Ready now, children. We're going to Mars. Listen. Keep your ears clean. Smell the smells of a rocket. Feel. Remember, so when you return, you'll talk of it all the rest of your lives. Do you understand, Paolo?
Yes, Papa.
And Pomelo?
Yes, Papa.
Riami?
Yes, Papa.
You mustn't loosen the straps or the rubber hammocks. Ready?
Ready.
Then I'll throw the switches.
Now we take off for Mars.
The children, strapped like tiny mummies in the rubber hammocks, screamed as the rocket thundered and leapt. They danced in the webbing, shouting and pointing 100 ways at once. And then in the port above them, a silver circle floated by, pockmarked with craters, the edge etched sharp against the velvet black.
The moon. That's the moon.
Look well, children. Remember.
The moon dreamed by, the black of space broken by the fierce pinpoints of the stars swarmed around them. And then a flight of fire, a shower of bright flame across the port.
Meteors. Those are meteors, aren't they, Papa? Aren't they?
Those are meteors. Remember. Remember.
The hours enveloped them. Time flowed away in a serpentine of gas. The children shouted, their eyes wide, their ears filled with the roar.
Well, I forget out of that green ball. What's that?
The earth, the whole of earth. Remember it, my little daughter. Remember how the ground you'll walk the rest of your life looks from where God sits.
The rocket dropped pink petals of fire while the hour dial spun. The child eyes dropped shut. At last, they hung like drunken moths in their cocoon hammocks.
Paolo. Antonello. Riamni. Good.
He tiptoed from the control room, down the shining corridors where the handhold stood out from the cold walls. And then, before the airlock, he stood a long time. Fearful, hesitating, he pressed a button.
The airlock door swung open. The door that leads to space, into inky tides of meteor and gaseous torch, into swift mileages and infinite dimensions. Fiorello Bodoni smiled and stepped out. He stood outside the door, and all around the quivering rocket lay the junkyard, rusting, unchanged. There stood the padlocked junkyard gate, the little silent house by the river, the kitchen window lighted. And in the center of the junkyard, manufacturing a magic dream, lay the quivering, purring rocket, shaking and roaring, bouncing the netted children like flies in a web.
Maria, Maria! It goes well. I must get back now. God, God, let nothing happen for 6 days. Let nothing happen to the illusion. Let all of space come and go and red Mars come up under our ship and the moons of Mars. Let there be no flaw in the color film. Let there be three dimensions. Let nothing go wrong with the mirrors and screens that mold the fine illusion. Let time pass. God, let us make our trip to Mars.
When the children awoke, red Mars floated near the rocket. Bodoni looked and saw red Mars, and it was good, and there was no flaw in it, and he was very happy. At sunset on the seventh day, Fiorello Bodoni sat before the giant panel and threw 10 switches, and the rocket stilled.
All right, children, we're home.
I had ham and eggs for all of you.
Mama, you should have seen it.
Mars, Mama, and the meteors.
And the moon, Mama, you should have seen the moon.
Oh, yes. Now eat, all of you. The eggs are hot.
Papa, we want to thank you.
It was nothing.
We'll remember it for always, Papa. We saw the moon and the meteors. We rode on a rocket to Mars. We'll never forget.
Eat now. The eggs will get cold.
Fiorello, are you awake?
Yes.
You're the best father in the world.
Why?
Now I see. Now I understand. Is it a very lovely journey?
Yes.
To Mars?
To Mars.
Fiorello?
Yes.
Maybe some night, you might take me on just a little trip. Do you think?
Just a little one, maybe.
Oh, thank you. Good night.
Good night.
You have heard The Rocket by Ray Bradbury. Our radio adaptation was by Ernest Kenoy. In tonight's cast, the narrator was Stanley Waxman, Maria Margaret Brayton, Bodoni Don Diamond, Bramante Ralph Moody, Paolo Joel Nessler, Antonello David Duval, Miriamne Dorothy Brown, Matthews Kurt Martell, your announcer John Wald. The director of NBC Presents Short Story is Andrew C. Love. Be with us again at the same time next week for our production of James Keene's short story, Dead Man. This program came to you from Hollywood. Tomorrow, Vaughn Monroe joins the other great Saturday shows on NBC.